But I can remember walking out of that gate the day and thinking, I never have to go back there. Ek het nie sommer jare of 'n sergeant of niks wat in my keel gaan afskree nie. Ek is klaar. Finish done. I've done my time. I'm out of here. And I would imagine it's the same. We have cleared out in terms of what this world expects of us. We are free. Wow. Nou, ek weet nie van julle nie, but that kind of... Yes, julle lyk so terwyl. Smile, mense. Hello. Is dit te diep vir julle? Sorry. Hello. Hoe gaan met julle? Is julle all right? All right, so I'm preaching tonight on taking the land. O, blikkies. You can't see my compass. Okay, so wat se kans noord? I put some white on there, but obviously te veel. It looks a bit different on the PC. Sorry, julle. And I must say, in preparation for tonight, I sat yesterday trying to prepare this word and really hear from God. And I cannot tell you what a struggle it was. And I believe there's a reason for that. Because taking the land is the last thing that an enemy of our souls wants us to do, isn't it? And I can't feel a say what a struggle it was. It was like I could not think. Like I sat there and it was like my thoughts were in a scramble. And it didn't matter how much I prayed and how much I separated myself yesterday. It was like, like I had this constant battle to get this word. So if in preaching this word tonight, you might think that I'm a bit random. Hopefully not, Lord. But I pray that you'll understand the weight of what I'm about to share. Because this does not just touch your life only. Taking the land, taking the promised land, taking that which God has set out for you to do is a big deal. And like I said, the enemy of your soul wants to keep you from doing exactly that. If he can hinder you from stepping into what God has called you to do, he has won a great victory. So I trust tonight that as I share, and we're just going to look at what a quick overview of the journey of the Israelites quickly, and maybe hopefully learn a couple of lessons from their lives, and which will allow us to walk more boldly. And listening to what is happening here tonight and being a communion service, I'm convinced that God wants us to step into greater things. Come on. You know, this is a season. If I look at what's going on, not just in South Africa, but in the world, if there's ever a time for us as the saints to take the promised land, so to speak, then it's now. All right, so let's read Joshua 3, verse 1 to 6. And this is where Joshua and them are just outside of on the wrong side of the Jordan. I always want to say the orange. Because it's, man, come on. It's like the orange. Okay. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levite priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits in length. That's about 914 meters. All right, I checked. Because I wasn't sure how far 2,000 cubits. Let's just buy a boxes. Okay. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, just a few things that I just want you to notice here, that the instruction is quite clear. If you go read Joshua 1, you'll see where Joshua now hears from God, and God sort of gives him the strategy on what's going to happen over the next couple of days. But Joshua then goes and he instructs his leaders, and he says to his leaders, listen, guys, I want you to go through the people and tell them, prepare yourselves, because we are crossing this river. And the instruction is of thus, that he says to them as well, that you must wait. Do not do anything till you see the ark move. If you see the ark move, vat jou goedjies en trek vir hulle. We are going. All right? But he gives another instruction, which is quite interesting. He says, listen, guys, keep a distance from this ark, because otherwise you're not going to know where you're going. You have not gone this way before. Now, if you think this is the generation that has just spent 40 years in the desert, okay? So where were they their whole lifetime? Die woestijn. If you want to know why they're so strategic in actually warring in the desert, maybe it's because they know the thing so well. You live 40 years somewhere, and kom eens kijk wat gebeur met jou. I mean, people that grew up in Goodwood, there's not anything in Goodwood that you cannot tell them. They know everything. Ik weet niet hoe ik zeg Goodwood, nie. Any case, Belleville. All right. But so they have not gone this way before. So he gives a clear instruction that, listen, you guys need to wait. And follow at a distance to know where the ark is going, because only then will you know where you want to go. Now, let me just quickly backtrack here. The Israelites are in the promised land, in Egypt. So God sends this guy called Moses. For die van julle wat nie julle Bybel lees nie, this is the short version. The Kobus Meyer version of the real version. All right, so God sends this dude, Moses, and he says to him, listen, guys, this is not God's plan for your life. He's heard your cries. He doesn't want you to be here in the slavery thing. He's got a land for you, a promised land. Now, at that moment, did the Israelites know where the promised land is? Did they know how to get there? No, but Moses, being the convincing guy that he is, he said, listen, guys, God has got this promise for you. We're going. So it took a bit of time and a couple of miracles and, you know, some paras and flea and stuff. I think not just to convince, what was his name? Pharaoh. But to convince, you've seen your Lesley Bible. Well done. But to convince the Israelites as well, maybe. I'm speculating there, but that God is actually serious about this thing. So eventually the Israelites get it. They see the vision. God's got a plan. So what happens? You know, in your life, if God says, I'm going somewhere with you, what happens? Hey, man, suddenly you get excited and everything starts happening. So the Israelites are there. They get excited and they set out with joy. You know, and the Egyptians are so happy for them to leave that they somehow give them all their gold and silver and all the goeders. And they literally plundered the Egyptians without them realizing it. So, yes, promised land. I can imagine them. I can only a dance do nie. Dit mag dalk net verkeerd wees. But any case, so nou nie die preek spoil nie. But they set off towards this promised land met groot fees. Everybody's happy. So what happens? Man, they barely set out. And they face the Red Sea. And then the Bible speaks about the whining Israelites, which is pretty much what we sometimes do, don't we? You know, so they've got this excitement of God's got this plan. God is doing this. And at the first obstacle, what happens? Die wiele kom af. Uit is die spears, toys flying out the cot. They want to kill this dude. They call Moses, you taking you out. So I can imagine being in Moses' shoes. That's like a Here help moment. Here, he's a paar miljoen. They're killing me. Okay, yeah, it's tough being a leader. Okay? You know, sometimes leaders just are people that are walking in faith. Have some grace. Okay? So, God sees this, hears Moses' cry, and then what does God do? He pitches. And he goes, ah, you know, it's just the sea. Moses, put out your stick. I'll say, you know, highway. I mean, I would have loved to be there. Can you imagine that? The walls of water. I don't know if you've seen the movies about this thing. I think it's the Tekenprentjie, you know, where the whale kind of comes in and he realizes, ek gaan gaan op die droë land wees, and then he turns. Have you seen that? But I mean, I would have been like, whoa, daar gaan nou sharky, tuna, yes. Huh? That must have been awesome. And God does this absolute amazing miracle in the midst. And they walk through this thing. Just to come on the other side, you know, look how God drowns all the Egyptians. You know, the one teacher said the one day to the kid, yeah, but the water was only like, you know, ankle deep. And the kid looked at the teacher and said, imagine how awesome is God. He drowns the whole Egyptian army in ankle deep water. Okay, so see, our God is awesome either way. Whether it was a sheer full water or just ankle deep, he sorted out the whole Egyptian army right there. Versape het hulle versape. So, but then obviously they get to the other side of this sea thing now, and the Egyptians are sorted out. And what happens? Not just one, but a whole series of challenges which they face. I mean, if they're not complaining about food, then they're complaining about water, and then the enemies are on them. And I mean, if you read the story, it was a tough life walking to the so-called promised land. Now, I sat and wondered about this. I wondered what was going through their mind the day they heard God say, let's do this. What went through your mind the day God said or gave you a promise? Yeah, I tell you, joy. Okay, so we know the journey. So they journey through this whole thing, and then they get to the promised land. Also on the wrong side of the Jordan, the orange. And they look at this land, they send spies, the spies come back. We know just two of them say, we're good to go. The rest say, hoe-ah. Groot beere. You know, these guys have muscles. It looks like wartelmoene. And we can't do this. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And God says, nah. Right, so there you go. So off they went, back into the desert, which is where we pick up the story where Joshua is now standing again on this side of the Jordan. So they're standing there looking at the promised land. Now at this point, you can imagine, they can see it. They've just been 40 years in the desert. They're standing there. It's looking beautiful. Okay? They can smell it, man. This is now really, we are here. This generation has just heard about everything from their fathers that, you know, there's this promised land. So they're standing there, they're smelling it, they can almost taste it. At this point, you know, the only thing they ate was just brood and quails. Dit klink sommer sleg. Hulle het gekwail vir die quails. Any case, bad joke, sorry. Okay, but I can imagine them standing there looking at the promised land thinking, spit braai. Ons gaan spit braai. As groot vleis. If the grapes were that big, that two men had to carry een tros druiwe, how would the cows look, man? Come on. Huh? Can you imagine? Piece of steak. It was big guys. They had to eat some serious meat. Okay, so now they're standing on this side of the Jordan going, drool, yes, okay, come on. But as I thought about this, you know when they got there this time, nothing changed. There was nothing different different to when they arrived at the Jordan this time as the previous time. Nothing changed. In actual fact, this time the Orange or the Jordan was in flood. So there was an additional problem, but it still had the same giants. It still had everything the same as before, but something changed. And the thing that changed is that they no longer saw the river. They didn't see the walls. They didn't see the giants. All they saw was that they have a God who's about to do great and amazing things for them. And this whole thing about, I honor Joshua because he obviously learned from Moses. And instead of sending 12 dudes, he just sent two. Two worked last time. And these guys come back and they say, we are good to go. We're taking this land. God's got this plan. We're going to do this. So they are excited about what God is doing. So, and that's where we started reading now, where Joshua is saying to them, listen, guys, God has spoken to me. I've got the plan. We're going to take this. Now, I don't know about you, but I've looked at the plan. The plan says this. You need to follow the ark, and we're going to cross this river. Now, Lorette tells a story, I think it's Anley Stanley that shares this, where can you imagine Joshua coming to his leaders? Now he's saying to his leaders, listen, guys, God has said to me, we're crossing the Jordan. 3 days, we're crossing the Jordan. We need to prepare and we need to leave. So up comes the one and he goes, excuse me, Joshua, how are we going to cross this Jordan? So Joshua goes, I don't know. God said we're crossing the Jordan. And you know, next one is like, excuse me, Joshua, but what about the giants? And it's near. God is saying in 3 days we're crossing the Jordan. You need to pack and get ready for this trip. You know, has anybody got any questions about packing and getting ready? We're crossing the Jordan. It's like, he says, has that got anything to do with packing? No, I don't know. Pack, we're going. Okay, this is about the message that Joshua is giving. God did not give him like the strategy to the end. God is saying, we're going. And you know what? God sometimes places people over you that are saying, we're going. We're doing this. But nou gaan ek vooruit my preek. Dit help nie. Okay? So the plan was, we're going to follow the ark. As the priests go, we're going to just follow this ark, all right? Then the next thing is we have to walk in silence for 7 days. Now, I don't know about you. Yeah, bro. I like talking. That must have been 7 long days. You know, they say that women has got like 20,000 words a day and men like 300. Can you imagine what the woman felt like? Huh? By the time they got back to the camp, any case, this is the plan. And then on the 7th day, you should just do it 7 times. I mean, it's like, yeah. And then you'll see the walls fall, and then you'll take the city. This is the plan, guys. Now, Wachabiki, we're sitting on this side of Jericho, right? So we read this in the Bible, but I'm looking at this bunch of Israelites, and I'm thinking, I would have looked at Joshua. Can you imagine President Zuma saying something similar? We're going to take this country and this is the strategy. Yeah, exactly. Everybody would go. What is it? You want to help him? But this is the leader that God puts over them. This is the strategy that God puts on the table. And he says, listen, guys, we're taking the city. The amazing thing is that's what happened. Is that they kept quiet. They started following this crazy leader who says he heard from God. And it's amazing. Before they crossed the river, God says to Joshua, today I will exalt you. And the people will see that my hand is upon you. So he sets out. And I can imagine, if I were there and the priests were carrying this ark And the Bible says when their feet touched the water said, whoosh. Now remember, this generation wasn't there with the Red Sea, no? They haven't seen this. And this water stops flowing. And the Bible says it just stopped. The rest carried on to the sea, but this stopped and it opgedam. It's like this massive. Can you imagine the chaos this way? I mean, you there in your little house, like 2 kilometers up, it's a nice little stream. And suddenly the stream is getting bigger. This is like grootskaalse evacuation. Skape, yay! Let's go. All right, so, in any case. Prankies help me. But I just stand amazed that God does this. And as I went through this, you know, God says, I want you to take 12 stones and put it in the middle of the river as a memorial for what has happened here. As a testimony of those that come. In actual fact, they took some on the other side as well. It's no biggie issue, can they? But as a memorial for what God has done. So there they go. They keep quiet for 7 days. The walls fall down flat. They take the city. They're in the promised land. You know what's amazing about the story? Is that that was just the start. It was not the end. Okay? God gave them that city. And when he gave them that city, he gave them the whole land. And if you read Joshua 1, you'll see the parameters that God set out. This is a groot stuk aarde. And he gave them everything. But it started by being obedient in that one river crossing. Okay? So how does this apply to us tonight here? Hier sit ons. And there's a whole lot of us that are sitting here tonight that you have received promises from God. That God has spoken to you certain things. Okay? But on the other side is we are sitting here as a congregation and God has given some promises and mandates to this congregation of where he's going. And you know what? In our Christian lives, many times that's where we stop. But can I broaden your horizon tonight? Because God has given promises for this country. And you're living in it. Okay? Now, as I said, we hear the promises of God. We don't know where this is going. We don't see the end of the road. And then we set out with joy and we're like, yes, Lord, we're doing this. And you hit the first obstacle. What happens? Yeah, we doubt. We start worrying. Did God really say? It's one of the biggest questions right there in the beginning, in Genesis. What did Satan say to the woman? Did God really say? You know what? Now, if God gives you a promise, if God says something over your life, it is for you to hold on to that thing and not doubt what God is saying. You see, as you face these different challenges, you know, they should actually not surprise you. Because in those challenges that we face and the obstacles that we as a church run into and the different things that happen in this country, you know, that is the stuff through which God is building memorials in our lives. That is the stuff that your children is going to look at and say, wow, how awesome is it what God has done? You know, sadly, I said this to Loretta a while back. Sometimes I think we forget to tell our kids what God has done. And we want to make a point. In actual fact, I guess we should write something to really remember what God has done. But that we remember what God is doing in our lives through the trials and the things that we're going through on this way to the promised land. Now, the interesting thing about the promised land is, you know, when they took that first city, you know, they had to still have many other wars and still chase out other people to inhabit that land. And many times on the way to walking into what God has called us, we face these trials and we need to take those lands, okay? And then, like I said, build some altars as testimony to those. And that follow the presence which I put there is I want to say this to you. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was evidence of God's presence in the Israelite camp. And they had to follow, literally, God's presence. So, wherever you are today, follow the presence of God where He is leading you. Because if you follow the presence of God, if you follow closely to Him, you will know where to go. Because you know what? In following this promise that God has given us, we don't know where it's going. We have not gone that way before. But God is saying, listen, I know where I'm going. Just follow me. Hello? Just follow my presence. Just stick close to me. Be here. And I will lead you. So you know what? When we hit trials and things, what is the first thing we should look for? Where's the presence? God, where are you? You know, sometimes we run away from God when we face the things. Instead of saying, yo, Lord, see, what are you about to do? God has promises for this congregation, for this nation. Many people are running away to other countries. What are we doing to war for the promises of God for this land? You know, God is into nations. He is into this nation. He's got a plan for this nation. And we, the children of God, the anointed ones of God, need to fight for the promises and the things that God has spoken over this land. You know, there's prophetic words that say that from the tip of Africa, a fire, a revival fire will break out and will spread all over Africa. Why not in our season? Why don't we contend for that fire? I'm sure you are. But can we pursue that promise with greater fervor? And say, God, you have spoken over this land. We speak blessing over this land. Everyone else is speaking death to this land. We are saying no. As the children of God, we are standing up and we are proclaiming, God, you are good. We sang some awesome songs tonight. The world out there needs to hear it. It needs to hear that God's got a plan for this. Lorette shared a word this morning. Just how, I think it's 78% of the people in our country say they are Christians. Yes, the predominant worldview is secular humanism. And they are actually controlling everything. Where are we? It hit me. She shared a simple example. And I know about this, but when she shared it again, I was just like, wow. She was walking with Jamel into a shop. He was about, I don't know, 5, 6. And there was a poster on the window of a hairdresser, which was this lady had beautiful hair, but she was all basically naked. And Lorette looked at this, and she was just like, this is not right. And she walked into the homeowner's place, and she said, listen, that poster is not right. There's families walking in here, young boys and so on. That's not right. Would you please consider taking it off? She said this woman looked at her with eyes this big. And she left. And the next day when she got there again, the poster was off. And I was challenged this morning, and I'm thinking, the word says that we need to be salt and light. Yet we walk past so many things that are offensive to our God, that are contrary to what His word is saying, that His word is for this country, that His word is for what He wants to do here. And we are just walking past it and accepting it. If there's revival that needs to break out, it is in us. That we become salt and light again out there. That we start contending for the promises of this country or that God has for it. But may we also, you see, because in our Christian walk, we war for the promises that God has spoken over me. But in the same way, can we war for and fight for the promises that God has got for this family? When we prayed before, and I didn't share it while we were praying, but I just saw this fountain breaking open. And this being a fountain of life for the place around you. We are the life that God wants to touch everything around you. So tonight, we are here. We must contend and fight for and walk through the promises of God that He has spoken over each one of us. But you know what? In the Israelites, Moses, Joshua, the guys that, you know, the spies and everybody, the call of God for their lives were there and they pursued that. But it was in that nation. They lived out the call of God in the bigger picture. Although each one of us here sitting here tonight have individual calls in our lives and we should pursue that, we have also got a duty to fulfill. That call is secure in the bigger. And God has added you to this family for you to live out that call here. And then He has placed us in this nation for us to live out the call of God in this nation. For us to transform what He wants to do here. So tonight, and with this I want to close, is I don't know what promises God has spoken over your life. Have you given up the first time that you saw the obstacle? Have you backed off? I want to say tonight is the night that you need to say, God, that promise is still there. You know, if you read that scripture, Joshua 1 starts with this. He says, Moses, the man of God, is dead. Now, you know what? Sometimes, in pursuing this promise, the leadership changes, not the promise. Your circumstances might change, not the promise. The promise is intact. God knows where He's going with you. And the fact that you've backed off does not mean that His plan has changed. Okay? He's still got that plan. He's still dreaming that of you. He still wants you to pursue it. He wants you to break through that situation and say, no, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm getting to where God is on the way with it. And you know what? You stepping into your destiny and purpose here tonight will affect all of us. You are not on your own. So tonight, we're sitting here. And I'm not sure what to do now, but all I want to know is, have you connected with what God wants to do in your life? Who of you are sitting here then you've given up on the promises because of trials and tribulation in your life, because of obstacles that you've encountered? So let's do this. Because I obviously would like to pray for everybody, but I can't do that. So can we do this smaller? Is it all right? Can we turn to one another and say, okay, listen, can I ask the hard question? Are you really pursuing what God has called you to do, or have you backed off through a trial? You know, it might even just be an aspect of what God has called you to do. And let's come tonight, you know, we need to say, Lord, forgive us. I've backed off. I want to pursue where You want to take me. And then think of what your call and your destiny means in the bigger picture and how that plays out in this nation. So let's just turn to one another quickly, and then I'll close with prayer for us, and let's just pray sincerely. And listen, be open and say, God, I've messed up, if You have. If You haven't, then listen, share maybe what God has called you and let that person pray over that and speak, you know, trust God for prophetic words to say, come on, this is what God is calling you to. Can you play some music for us and then let's just turn to one another and let's just pray before we have coffee.